They're both former athletes for a reason. Good thing they can talk sports. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back. Expansion draft, Seattle Kraken filling out their team. Sean McIndoe with us from The Athletic as we welcome him back to the program on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Sean, good to have you.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks.
Thank you. So, you know, there was a little bit of weirdness going on here in CBJ Nation about Max Domi being unprotected. Now, he has the shoulder. It's going to be a long rehab, won't be ready to start the year. And Jarmo Kekäläinen throughout that, yeah, it's a gamble. He admitted that. But were you buying that that was the strategy, that they left a injured player unprotected versus maybe he thought, well, if they take him, at $6 million, it frees up? Which side of that were you on? And they didn't take him, which is, I guess, a good thing for us.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. This is one where you'd probably have to hook a few guys up to lie detectors to really get the full story. I suspect that maybe the truth lay somewhere in the middle, where the Blue Jackets do look at Max Domi as a part of what they're trying to build going forward, and he is a guy that they would like to have around. And they probably understood that they're, given the circumstances, Seattle coming in, that the contract plus the injury status might keep them away. So the calculated risk part, I think, does make sense. And at the end of the day, probably hoping he wouldn't get picked, and at the same time thinking, you know what, if he does, then that's a lot of cap room that we can play with, and we can do some things with that too. And that being said, now that we know the result, or at least think we do, and we know that Max Domi hasn't been picked, everybody puts a smile on their face and they move forward and they say this was the plan all along.
The Patrick Laine trade was such a big deal for us last year, and especially what he can bring to the table offensively with that shot. It's spectacular when it's right. Now, for the long term, for the Jackets, do you view Patrick Laine as a guy that can have some success here in Columbus?
You know what? It is really, really hard in the NHL to score goals. That is a skill that very few guys have, and Patrick Laine is one of those guys, and it drives you crazy a little bit, because there are nights when you see it and you go, man, this guy can find the net in a way that very, very few guys in the league can. And then for the next 5 or 10 games, it doesn't happen. And you're wondering, you know, what is it? Is it the effort level? Is the engine not there? Is it something else? And he's a guy, like a lot of the great goal scorers, when the puck is not going in, he's not bringing a ton of value in the other areas of the game. So I get the frustration. And certainly when you make a big trade like they made earlier in the year, you give up a key piece of what you thought was your future, the expectations are going to be high, and they haven't been met so far. But I do think that you've got to stick with it, and you've got to hope that everything clicks together, because, as I say, there's just very few guys that can wire the puck the way that he can. And when he's playing well and when he's right, he gives you an element that is extremely hard to find. And, you know, we don't know exactly what's happening behind the scenes. We don't know exactly every piece of information that might help us know how big a piece he needs to be of the plan going forward. But just from what we can see on the ice, there's not a lot of guys who can do what he can do. And I think if you move on too early from a player like that, you're just going to spend a long time looking for somebody who can bring that to the table.
Talking with The Athletic's Sean McIndoe, who covers the NHL here on Rothman and Ice. The Seth Jones situation is, it's a gut punch here. We thought we could make him the face of the franchise, especially during a rebuild. And he's a guy that everyone really likes and respects. I don't know what he truly is worth out there in a trade, because we don't know. But my anticipation is that the Jackets, being in rebuild, would not go for, you know, a player that maybe they'd have a tough time re-signing again. It would be for, you know, some great prospects and really feed into the rebuild. I saw this rumor that Stars might be willing to trade for him. And then Klingberg's name throughout there. I'm like, yeah, on paper, certainly that sounds like a great trade. But I think he's going to be UFA next summer as well. So your feeling on what the Jackets could get for Seth Jones and what might be the right strategy?
Yeah, it's a fascinating situation with Seth Jones, because he's a guy that depending on who you talk to, you may get very different levels of enthusiasm for what he brings to the table. The analytics guys, the people who look at the numbers, a lot of them will say that, you know, he was not as good as you might have expected over the last few years, and then certainly last season. I mean, that was just a bad year for him, no matter what numbers you're looking at. But a lot of them are very skeptical, and a lot of them feel like, you know, this maybe isn't the sort of franchise cornerstone defenseman that a lot of people think. Whereas, you know, the more traditional types, the ones, the eye test guys, they still love this kid, and they absolutely look at this player as the sort of guy that you build your blue line around and put him out there 25, 30 minutes a night on a Stanley Cup contender. They can absolutely see that. So the good news for the Blue Jackets is this isn't a democracy. This isn't something where all 30 teams get together and vote and decide. You only need a few teams to fall into that second category of loving this guy for you to get yourself a nice bidding war going. And then you're going to get a nice package back. And as far as what it would be, I think you're probably right. You're looking at guys who are under control at the very least. Now, that doesn't necessarily have to be prospects. It could be guys that are in the NHL. It could even be guys who are signed on longer-term deals. But I don't think you want to go through this scenario again where you're saying, okay, now we've got to impress this player. We've got to make sure that they want to stick around long-term. You want somebody who's locked in, who's going to be part of the program going forward. But there's going to be options out there. And, yeah, as far as picks and prospects and all of that fun stuff pays off down the line in the future, there will absolutely be at least a few teams that will be lining up to offer a package like that, and that's all you need. You just need a few. You just need that bidding war, and the price starts going up, and suddenly you get a trade return that you like a lot.
There's been so many moving pieces this off season for our Blue Jackets, and one of those was a big piece in finding a new head coach. What was your reaction to the news when it became official that Brad Larsen was going to be the guy to follow up Torts?
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be tough to follow a guy like John Tortorella. Just a very unique personality, I think would be a fair way to put it, and a guy that you hear a lot of different stuff. You know, a lot of us on the outside see how he is sometimes with the media or even, you know, how he acts on the bench, and you think that he's got to be this hard-nosed guy, and boy, the players probably don't like playing for him. But then a lot of them will tell you absolutely they do. Not all of them, of course. We've heard some rumors that you know, some players aren't big fans, but a lot of them are. But that having been said, eventually you do got to move on. Everybody has a shelf life in this business, and I think it was time to make that move. And what I was interested to see is, you know, what would they do as far as, do you go after another big name? Do you go after another veteran? Do you go after another big personality who's going to come right in and establish that, hey, this is my team now, we're not doing things the way we used to, all that goes out the door? Or do you go for a little bit more continuity and someone who's a bit more familiar, not necessarily a young or a brand new coach? Obviously, all these guys have got a fair amount of experience, but somebody who can sort of chart their own path. And I like it. You know, it's a good pick. It's not in my business. You know, it's not maybe the sort of big name that we love to jump on and write about and fill up a bunch of pages. But I think, for what the Blue Jackets are trying to do, probably the right call, probably the right pick.
Good stuff with our friend Sean McIndoe of The Athletic talking NHL. Sean, good to have you, man. Thanks for the insight, and we'll ring you back soon. Thank you.
Right on. Thanks for having me, guys.